Hello, everybody. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome to Gamecock Flashbacks. Today, we will be looking at the 2016 Gamecock football season. If you're unfamiliar with Gamecock Flashbacks, which I doubt you are by this point, but we have been looking at every football season since 1987. If you're wondering why we started with 1987, well, that was my freshman year of college, which makes me pretty darn old. So let's not speak of that again. So 2016 was a new era of Gamecock football. We had ended 2015 with a 3-9 record. Steve Spurrier had quit / retired in the middle of the season. Sean Elliott took over. Won a game, but lost some big games, lost to the Citadel, lost to Clemson, even though the Clemson game was pretty close. Was a tough season. And during the offseason, it looked very much like we were going to hire hotshot Tom Herman, who had just had his first season at Houston, which was a spectacular season. And then that fell through, and it looked like Kirby Smart was next on the list, and Georgia, lo and behold, fired Mark Richt and swooped in and took Kirby Smart, which left us with Will Muschamp. I'm going to be honest with you. I was not a fan of the Will Muschamp hire. I was Team Herman all the way. I wanted Tom Herman and was terribly disappointed when we didn't get him. In retrospect, Tom Herman, he may turn out to be a great football coach, but he is a flake, or appears to be a flake at this point. And I'm recording this before the beginning of the 2018 season. Actually forgot to record this before the 2017 season. I try to do it before every new year. And so anyway, we're a year behind on the 2016 Gamecock flashback, but I digress. You know, Kirby Smart was, like I said, was next on the list. I thought that would have been a good hire. I didn't think it was a great hire. Turns out he was a great hire, took Georgia to the national championship game in 2017. And Muschamp has really, really done a nice job so far, I believe. And, looking forward to seeing what he can do in the coming years as Gamecock head coach. But 2016 started out with, a game in Nashville on a Thursday night against the Vanderbilt Commodores. If you've never been to a game in Nashville, I would highly recommend it. T-Bone and G-Man and I went up there and just had a great time. We met up with a lot of Gamecock Twitter folk like Connor Tapp and Beat Clemson, who I think we drank beer on Beat Clemson's brother's tab. And I don't know that his brother ever knew that. But met Gamecockology, Kyle Baker, Chris B. Cox, a lot of folks at the tailgate before the game. Before the game, a Vandy blogger, I believe, had guaranteed a win over South Carolina and was really talking like Vanderbilt had passed the Gamecocks in the pecking order in the SEC East, which for Vanderbilt to pass somebody in the SEC East would mean they would not be in last place anymore. So that was a slap in the face to us. Derek Mason, pretty good football coach up there, had some high hopes. And we went in there and it really was just an awful game. It was not a good football game. Not one that's going to be showing up in the NCAA Hall of Fame anytime soon. South Carolina was down 10-0 at the half. And I remember looking at T-Bone and the G-Man and saying, wow, this is not going to get better anytime soon, is it? We look really bad. We scored our first points of the game and of the season in the third quarter when Elliott Fry hit a 48-yard field goal. And then not too long after that, Debo Samuel scored on a play we've come to see a lot of, a speed sweep from 8 yards out, and that made the score 10-10. Vandy missed a 48-yard field goal with about 4 minutes to go, and then we got close enough for Elliott Fry to try and make a 55-yard field goal with 35 seconds left, and that was the game winner. So after a pathetic first half offensively, Perry Orth led the Gamecocks to 220 yards in the second half and completed 6 of 8 passes for 117 yards. Freshman A.J. Turner led the way on the ground with 13 carries for 70 yards. And we were 1-0. And the following week, we were going into Mississippi State. And we couldn't help but look ahead. We had ECU after Mississippi State, and we were thinking, wow, if we could go in and pull an upset over the Bulldogs, then, man, being 3-0 in the Will Muschamp era sounds really good. However, it was not to be, as we would get thoroughly waxed by a pretty good team in Starkville the following week. Nick Fitzgerald, the quarterback for Mississippi State, introduced himself to the SEC. He set a school record for rushing by a quarterback with 195 yards on 17 carries, also passed for 178 yards, and he looked a lot like the Jones kid from Arkansas, who I believe I've talked about on the previous Gamecock flashbacks. He's a tall guy, deceptively fast, and just killed us. Matt Jones for Arkansas. He used to kill us when he was with Arkansas, and Nick Fitzgerald killed us in 2016 with Mississippi State. They raced out to a 24-0 lead at halftime, and for all intents and purposes, the game was over at that point. We did scrounge up 14 points in the second half and held Mississippi State to 3, but there was very little positive to take from this game. And it really highlighted that we did not have a quarterback that was ready for prime time, as both guys stunk. Don't believe I talked about Brandon McElwain. He was a true freshman. A lot of people had high hopes for him. And he did play some in the Vanderbilt game, had a crucial fumble, and then played a little bit against Mississippi State. But honestly, neither guy looked very good. So the following week at home against East Carolina, McElwain got his first career start to try to jumpstart the offense, and he came flying out of the gate, leading the Gamecocks to 17 first-half points and a 17-3 lead at the half. But that was a little misleading. East Carolina quarterback Philip Nelson rolled up 400 yards on 44 of 58 passing, and East Carolina wide receiver Zay Jones had 22 catches for 190 yards. I think the 22 catches tied an NCAA record. The Pirates got a couple of scores late, but overall only scored on 2 of 6 trips to the red zone. So one of those bend but don't break things, which really drives me nuts. Let's just have a defense that doesn't bend in the first place, right? Anyway, we got a little lucky, made some nice plays down there in the red zone. But this was easily a game that could have gone the other way. But the Gamecocks pulled it out 20-15 to move to 2-1 on the year. Next up was a road trip to Kentucky, where the offense continued to struggle under Brandon McElwain. Kentucky ran the ball down our throats again. Boom Williams and Benny Snell for the Wildcats combined for 196 yards on the ground, and the Wildcats won an awful, awful football game 17-10. It was a little bit of a trend so far in the 2016 season, just ugly, ugly football. I often say that ugly football is our brand, and it certainly was early in 2016. Next, the Gamecocks hosted ninth-ranked Texas A&M. And after an electric 75-yard touchdown run on the first play from scrimmage by another freshman, A.J. Turner, the Gamecock offense once again went silent. It was a bit of a moral victory that we were tied with a top-10 team at the half and only down 14-10 after three quarters. But they tacked on a couple of scores in the fourth quarter and walked out with a 24-13 win. Of note, in that game, freshman Rico Dowdle saw his first action of the year after being injured in the first four games and rushed for 47 yards on 9 carries. Next up, it was kind of strange. Hurricane Matthew kind of screwed things up for us. It was bearing down on the coast, and for the second year in a row, the schedule was disrupted by weather. The game against Georgia, at least it didn't get moved to another weekend. It was only delayed by one day. We played on a Sunday, and against Georgia, who were playing their first season under Kirby Smart. Didn't have a great season that first year. I believe they finished 7-5. And that particular day, Georgia was playing with their own freshman hotshot quarterback in Jacob Eason, who went 5 for 17 for 29 yards. That's hard to do. Sometimes I think I could have gone 5 for 17 for 29 yards, but that's probably not true. But it's difficult for a Division I quarterback who's not running the triple option to only pass for 29 yards in a game. And that would usually bode well for us, right? Well, it didn't on that day, because the Bulldogs ran for 326 yards behind Sony Michel, who had 133, and Nick Chubb, who had 121, and we could not stop the run on that day. Still, we did make it interesting. We were down 14-0, cut it to 14-7. And then got to within 21-14 with a minute 43 to go, but Terry Godwin of Georgia picked up an onside kick and returned it for a touchdown to put the game away. So after that game, we started hearing rumblings that our other true freshman quarterback, Jake Bentley, might have his red shirt taken off and get a start against UMass. And in the litany of things I've been wrong about, you can add this to it, because I was not in favor of taking the red shirt off of Jake Bentley. At that point in the season, I kind of thought the season was a wash. Let's just have a bad offense. We're probably not going to get bowl eligible. Let's just, you know, do the best we can and save a season of Jake Bentley. But I was quickly proven wrong, as the Gamecocks scored 27 first half points against UMass. Bentley threw for 201 yards and two touchdowns, and Casey Crosby had one of the prettiest diving catches you'll ever see. And all of a sudden, there was life in the Carolina offense. But the problem with this game was the Gamecocks only scored 7 after the half, and UMass pulled to within 6 points late in the game and had the ball with a chance to win it. And this was a team that had come in 1-6, come into the game 1-6. So, fortunately, we put together a couple of first downs and ran the clock out, but it was a very uncomfortable victory. But, hey, win is a win, right? Because the next week, the 18th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers came into town. And as I'm reading that now, I can't believe Tennessee was ranked 18th less than 2 years ago. They've been so bad recently. So, but, yeah, they were 18 in the country, and it was a huge test for this young Gamecock team. And really had to win this game if we had any chance at all of getting bowl eligible. So the Gamecocks got off to a fast start, scored a touchdown on their first drive, which included a Jake Bentley scramble on first down for a first down on 4th and 2. I think that was from the Tennessee 42-yard line. I know it was on their side of the field, and Muschamp had gotten some criticism in the Vanderbilt game earlier in the season for getting in plus territory, getting into Vandy territory and punting. And that strategy worked really well that night against Vanderbilt, because our defense was playing well, but a lot of folks wanted him to go for it. And he did against Tennessee and got it on the first drive of the game. It was a big momentum boost, followed by a great one-handed catch from Debo Samuel. So USC led 14-7 at the half and then took a 17-7 lead late in the third quarter. And Josh Dobbs, the Tennessee quarterback, who's a pretty darn good college quarterback, and I actually think he's a backup for the Steelers now, he may have played the worst game of his career against South Carolina that night. He was awful. And when we were up 17-7, it felt like a two-score lead might be insurmountable the way he was playing. But on the ensuing kickoff, after taking that 10-point lead, Tennessee's Evan Berry went 100 yards to cut the lead to 17-14. And at that point, we knew this one would come down to the wire. Tennessee turnover was converted into a 35-yard touchdown pass, once again to KC Crosby. And we had that two-score lead. But the Vols scored again to make it 24-21 and then got the ball back late. But a desperation 58-yard field goal for the Vols fell well short, and Will Muschamp had his first signature win at South Carolina. Rico Dowdle had a career high 127 yards that night with a touchdown, and Bentley was solid, if not spectacular. He had 15 of 20, completed 15 of 20 passes for 167 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Next up, the Missouri Tigers, who we've started to build quite a hatred for over the last few years. They were quite awful in 2016. Pretty bad team, but they put up a good fight that night against the Gamecocks, made it a game into the fourth quarter, but South Carolina prevailed to move to 5-4 on the season. Really big night for the offense. Bentley was 22 of 28 for 254 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Dowdle topped his previous week with 149 yards on the ground, and Debo Samuel had 125 yards receiving and another rushing touchdown. Then came our yearly matchup with Florida. We went down to Florida with a chance to become bowl eligible, but would fall to the eventual SEC East champions 20-7. And if you want to know how Jim McElwain's Gator teams won back-to-back East titles, look no further than the defensive talent that Will Muschamp left behind when he was fired. A lot of really, really good ball players. Unfortunately for McElwain, Muschamp did not leave much of an offense, but did leave him enough to win a couple of SEC East titles. So on this particular day, the Gamecocks were held to 256 yards of total offense and scored their only touchdown late in the game. It was a pretty dominant performance by Florida, which overall was a pretty mediocre team, but again, good enough to win the East. And I'm not bitter about it at all, as you can tell. The Gamecocks took on Western Carolina, became bowl eligible in their final home game against the Catamounts. Just a brutal, brutal football game. Did I use the word brutal earlier in the podcast? There were a couple of brutal games this year in 2016. So the Gamecocks won the game 44-31, but had a terrible time stopping Western Carolina and had to sweat things out down the stretch. We had a 35-17 lead at the half, but only managed 9 second-half points in what was what's become a bit of a tradition for us, struggling against FCS schools. Debo Samuel had a 3-touchdown day. As a wide receiver, you would think he would have a receiving touchdown, but no, he had 2 rushing touchdowns and a 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Also, Rico Dowdle had 227 yards rushing. Do you remember that? I vaguely remember him having a good game against Western Carolina, but I was surprised when I went back and saw that he had 227 on the ground that day. So really impressive performance there. Anyway, if the Western Carolina game was frustrating, I'm not sure how to describe what happened the following week. We went to Clemson and were thoroughly embarrassed 56-7 by a team that would eventually win the national championship. And let's also never speak of that again, along with how old I am. So we'll just set that one aside. But even after a bad win and a bad loss, the good news was that the Gamecocks had improved their win total by 3 games over 2015 and earned a bid to play South Florida in a bowl game. Bad news was it was the Birmingham Bowl, previously known as the PapaJohns.com Bowl. And we all have nightmares from the last time we played there, especially those of us who were at the stadium in person to see us lose to UConn. There's the third thing we really don't need to speak of again. But hey, you know, going back to Birmingham beat the heck out of a 3-win season. So at that point, it was hard to be too picky. But unfortunately, that game started pretty much the way we left off at Clemson, falling behind South Florida 15-0 and looking pretty bad doing it. The Gamecocks had cut the lead to 22-14 just before half, but then gave up an awful touchdown with about 30 seconds left in the half to go back down by 15 points, 29-14. In the second half, South Carolina was down by as many as 18 points, but just kept chipping away behind Jake Bentley and Debo Samuel and finally tied the score at 39 with about a minute left. And that was set up by a spectacular Chris LeMond's punt return. So after that score, the game went into overtime. South Florida scored on their first possession. The Gamecocks failed to score when they got their chance, and the Bulls walked away with a thrilling 46-39 win. Bentley had a huge game, throwing for 390 yards. Debo had 190 yards receiving. And I know we lost, but that was kind of a fun game. And I wasn't as down after a loss after that game as I normally am. I appreciated seeing some fight in the Gamecocks that certainly was not there in their previous two games. So the season ended on somewhat of a sour note, but the foundation had been laid for another jump in win total in 2017. All in all, pretty good start to the Will Muschamp era. So that will wrap up 2016. We thank you so much for listening and hope you'll tune in for all the other Gamecock flashbacks available at therubberchickensblog.com. My name is Buck, and we'll talk to you later. Zone. 'Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. You've been so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop that. Under the lights when everything goes nowhere to hide, when I'm getting you close, when we move. Just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel the good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. So just dance. So just dance, dance, dance. I can't stop the feeling, yeah. So keep dancing. Yeah. I can't stop the. 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 Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing.